We always see the same face of the moon. That happens because the moon is a cosmic plasma phenomenon. The moon is not land, but a focused electromagnetic energy light with its own phases. It takes place in a semi-ethereal toroid field above because of the electromagnetic energy that comes from below our level plane. On the face of the moon, we can see the material field that is below the world that we live in, mirrored, working like a level Earth's selfie. The moon is focused electromagnetic phenomenon called plasma. Cosmic electromagnetic energy comes below from the flattened stationary plane going above. The inner reflection of this electromagnetic energy on this field's ceiling turns it back down, creating a focus spot point in a semi-ethereal environment. At this spot, there is fluorescence of the ether because of the focused cosmic electromagnetic energy. The spot that is created is the moon. In this way, the moon reveals to us the large part of the terrestrial and oceanic surface, and with these natural characteristics, serves as a natural map of Earth. Map of Earth. Moon is a focused plasma phenomenon and happens in the ethereal field above. It is a semi-ethereal, showing us the material field and the world we live in. The reason that happens is an electromagnetic coil moving source below. With a few words, is like Earth's selfie. It is the mirror of the Earth. That is why we always see the same face of the moon. It is the face of the Earth in real time. Map of the Earth in this transition. Water masses and energy spots give fluorescence on the ethereal field above, white areas of the moon. But land masses do not, transparent areas of the moon, blue in the day, black in the night. So in this way, we have the first world map by plasma moon. water masses keep fluorescence in the ethereal field above and create the moon. They are represented from the white part of the moon. Land masses do not give fluorescence, so they are represented transparently. They always take the background color of the sky. Moon is an electromagnetic phenomenon and happens in a semi-ethereal field above at around 5,500 kilometers altitude. Its diameter is 51 kilometers. It is made from fluorescence and phosphorized ether of krypton. Cosmic electromagnetic energy comes from below, black sun, and hits the inner side of our toroidal field. There is a prismatic refraction of this cosmic energy there that separates it to plus and minus, creating the sun and the moon at two moving spots with shape-like lenses below, where they are focusing. The moon is a live reflection of the Earth like a mirrored X-ray. In this way, it reveals to us all part of the terrestrial and oceanographic surface of the Earth. These characteristics serve us the full map of Earth.
You have a theory about the moon, and we expect to be able to get observable facts about the moon fairly soon. What is your theory?
Well, it is by now rather more than a theory. 10 or 11 years ago, I stated to various scientists that the moon is not a piece of rock, but it is a plasma phenomenon, a cosmic plasma, and that this fact will eventually be confirmed. I made certain predictions which were already confirmed in 1958, and the situation now is coming close to a complete confirmation.
The Americans and Russians are thinking of landing men on it.
Well, that will never happen.
hiding in plain sight. A distorted, unreliable yet steadfast reflection. A quasi-photographic image of both our known world and what is this? This is the unknown world. Thank you, Sturgios, for all your work. Sturgios has mapped out each continent to the minutest detail. His work is meticulous. He has mapped time zones, seasons, flight paths, and distances. The first true flat Earth map. And it is of utmost importance, primarily due to the unknown landmass over here, that Sturgios has named Terra Vista, after the Eburno Monti landmass of the same name. Why have we never heard of this land before? If the area here is our known world, then the realm is absolutely enormous. But wait a minute. Sturgios's presentation of our known world here maps the five prominent circles of latitude. We see the Arctic Circle, the tropics, the equator, and the Antarctic Circle. And Sturgios has mapped the sun's concentric journey around these circles of latitude, mapping seasons and time zones with the utmost precision and accuracy. Sturgios revealed that if you treat the moon as the mirror image it is, and flip its image like you would with any reflection, then you can start to map our known landmasses with utmost precision. And this is exactly what Sturgios has done. Mapping the known world captured in the moon down to its great lakes and deserts. The striking similarities between our known world landmass and that captured on the moon are far too exact for it to be any kind of coincidence. It has been right in front of our faces every single day, literally. It is likely that no one has connected the dots here before because of this particular unknown landmass, which Sturgios has appropriately named Lumeria. We live on a flat plane. Our world is an electromagnetic terrarium. And like all terrariums, after initial creation, they begin to form their own self-sustaining atmosphere. The sun and the moon journey above our flat realm in concentric spirals. There are five prominent circles of latitude, we are told. We have the Arctic Circle, closest to the center. The Tropic of Cancer, at 23.5 degrees latitude, in the northern hemisphere. The equator, at 0 degree latitude. The Tropic of Capricorn, at 23.5 degrees latitude, in the southern hemisphere. And the Antarctic Circle. The sun journeys from the equator at the March equinox up in concentric spirals to the Tropic of Cancer. When the sun is in this position, the northern hemisphere experiences summer and the southern hemisphere experiences winter. After which, the sun turns and begins making its way back to the equator. The word tropic stems from the Latin word tropicus, which means pertaining to a turn. The sun journeys back, taking the same concentric spiral path, and reaches the equator again. It then keeps going, and reaches the Tropic of Capricorn. When the sun is in this position, the southern hemisphere experiences summer, and the northern hemisphere experiences winter. After a time, the sun turns and begins making its way back to the equator for the March equinox. The equinox occurs when the sun is journeying the circle of the equator, and those living along this line of latitude will see the sun directly overhead at a 90 degree angle at solar noon. The March equinox marks a season of spring in the northern hemisphere, and the September equinox marks a season of autumn. If you live in the southern hemisphere, this is reversed, and the September equinox marks spring, and the March equinox autumn. It is important to know that the Sun never reaches the Arctic Circle, nor does it reach the Antarctic Circle. It never reaches the poles. It journeys to the tropic circles and then turns back. The point at which the Sun reaches its most northerly and southerly excursion relative to the equator is called the solstice. Solstice comes from the Latin word solstitium, which means point at which the Sun seems to stand still. And indeed, many do note that the Sun seems to stop on the solstices. And this is because, in a sense, it does. It reaches the most northerly and southerly excursion and turns back. But why the Tropic of Cancer and Capricorn? Who names these circles of latitude? Our historical ancestors did. They had clocks that not only told them the seconds of the hour, the hours in the day, but also the moment of dusk and dawn and the current phase of the moon. Their clocks understood the true time, the bigger picture. They understood the celestial clock. The stars above us revolve at a constant 1 degree every 4 minutes, from east to west, that is, anti-clockwise. This means they revolve at 15 degrees every hour. 15 degrees multiplied by 24 hours is 360, a full circle. The stars above are fixed. They do not stray from their anti-clockwise journey, but revolve and complete a full circle every day. Our ancient historical ancestors knew this. They assigned the stars above into fixed constellations. They divided the 360-degree circle of the sky above into 12 divisional arcs of 30 degrees, in which each constellation of the zodiac resides in. They designated each constellation in each 30-degree arc with an anthropomorphic symbol, most of which are animals. Zodiac is an interesting word. Zodiac, the arcs of the zoo. Yes, the parallels with Noah's Ark are strikingly obvious. Each constellation of the zodiac moves from its fixed position at 1 degree every 72 years. The stars in the circle above us are fixed in their positions, but every 72 years, the entire circle shifts 1 degree. This is what is called the precession of the equinox. Remember, each arc is 30 degrees. If we multiply 72 with 30, we get 2,160 years. It takes 2,160 years for the circle above to shift one whole arc. Astronomers call this an age, and this is what is meant by entering or the dawn of a new age. Everything surrounding our world moves. The stars above move, the sun and the moon, and the electromagnetic outer core under us, and all the while the land itself and central solid core remain stationary. And not only does this outer core move and take our magnetic North Pole with it, but it is highly likely that it moves in accordance with the precession of the equinox, in time with the stars above as they move from their fixed positions, which means that it probably moves 30 degrees of the realm's circumference every 2,160 years. The North Magnetic Pole is slowly moving, and it is as natural as the Sun and Moon's concentric journey above us. And the result is a situation like this. Every 2,160 years, our North Magnetic Pole circles the inner solid core and vortex by 30 degrees. It is traversing the outer central circle, or what is more appropriately termed the magnetic circle. The Sun and Moon circle our magnetic North Pole, which is situated roughly at the center of our known world's landmass. But this magnetic North Pole circles the inner vortex and completes a full revolution every 25,920 years, or what is referred to as a great year. Each great year consists of 12 precessional or astronomical ages of 2,160 years each. As the North Magnetic Pole circumvents the central magnetic circle, the toroidal magnetic field moves with it. The Sun and Moon are bound in their revolution by our magnetic North Pole, and because of this, they move within our magnetic toroidal field only. This is why the magnetic North Pole will always be the center of our known world. If the Sun's concentric journey above us is bound by the North Magnetic Pole here, and its magnetic toroidal field, and this entire magnetic field is moving with the pole, then it is likely we have a situation of a changing climate as this process unfolds. All areas outside of our magnetic field will inevitably be frozen and dark due to the lack of sunlight, and this is consistent with what some of the scriptures have told us. I saw the great rivers, and I came to the great river, and to the great darkness, and went to the place where no flesh walks. I saw the mountains of the darkness of winter. This is your ice wall, and it's not a constant, fixed wall. It is continually melting and refreezing with the revolution of the pole over the course of a great year and each astronomical age. Do you now understand why they are terrified of the ice melting, of our Earth supposedly heating up, and why this demonic joke of a man wants to dim the sun? They are using natural climate change due to the rotation of the magnetic pole to justify a whole host of useless measures and money laundering. They are terrified because they are on the verge of losing all control of the narrative. We must save the precious Antarctica from melting, the last unspoiled place on Earth. But as you can see, there is no landmass for us to call Antarctica. It is a complete lie. When they refer to Antarctica, there is only the Antarctic Circle, and a lot of the footage at the so-called Antarctica could have been taken at any location around this circle. As you can also see, the land masses of South America, New Zealand, and Australia all fall within close proximity to the outer edge of the greater world map, and would therefore be within close proximity to the foundations of the firmament itself. This is most likely the reason there is heavy military presence in these regions. The change in climate, the melting of the Antarctic Circle, is as natural as day and night. It is a macro process of the larger clock we live within.